In our church, we take this very seriously, our commitment to children in our community, but it doesn't stop there. We also have mission priorities throughout, on the other side of the world, in Liberia. Years ago, we had a connection with a church in Liberia, and we said we were going over there. Many of you know this story, and time passed, and finally we sent a mission team. And when they got there, they were so happy to see our mission team, they cried, didn't they, Tommy?
They did.
They wept. And
they sure did.
And I think, was it Pastor Billy that asked, why are you weeping? Mm-hmm. And they were weeping because lots of people say they're going to come and help, but you did. Mm-hmm. So that has told us of our not only need to commit one time, but to stay in relationship and connection for the needs of those who are the most vulnerable. And this next Sunday will be fifth Sunday, a tradition in our church, a special offering, and it's going to go for our Liberian mission in Jonteentown. And Tommy's going to share a little bit about what's going on there.
We were over there 3 weeks, and I'll say it's a good way to lose weight. We ate what they ate and slept where they slept, and it was interesting. I think I know a lot of y'all. Those that don't know me, I go to that other St. Paul's United Methodist Church, the one at 8 o'clock. But real happy to see y'all and see some new faces. I almost said strange faces, but new faces. Our first, and today I want to talk about funding portion. Next week I'll talk about more about the people, and I've got a bunch of slides and things to show. But our first association with Jonteentown was through Bishop John Ennis and his wife Irene. Bishop Ennis, he was Reverend Ennis then, came here in the early 2000s on a trip to see Marv Moffat, who sits over there at the 8 o'clock service, and Wilma Kingston, who was Wilma Johnson then. Her husband had passed away over the years. But Greta Moffat is the reason why Bishop Ennis is a bishop today. And you got to come back next week to hear the rest of the story. But Billy Still, our pastor then, asked Bishop Ennis if he wanted to preach. And if you know Bishop Ennis, he never turns down an opportunity to preach. And he told us about the utter devastation that was going on around Liberia at that time. And it was things that maybe we read about it, heard about it, we probably didn't, and we absolutely did not appreciate it. So he goes back, and over the years he's come back many times, but he went back and then he made bishop. And on his next trip back, Billy had talked to us, the congregation, and so forth, and we decided that instead of giving broad-based money to the country of Liberia, we wanted to zero in on an organization, a town, some people or whatever, and along came Jonteentown. That also, I'll tell you, the association, but it had to do with his wife Irene, whose dad lived in Jonteentown. So we did, and the first thing we thought that they would be interested in was a clinic. Malaria is just rampant throughout that part of the world, but especially in Liberia. And they said, no, we want a school. We want to teach the kids. They're our future. And if we don't teach them, if they don't learn, then we're not going to progress beyond where we are today. So we built a school. We were in the process of building it. We sent monies, of course, collected money here, and sent monies to buy the equipment and so forth. They had started building, and along came one of their many civil wars over there, and they've had several led by some pretty bad people. And the rebels tore the school down, what they had built. They stole all the equipment and so forth. The locals did not let us know that. They were embarrassed, basically. They thought that we would think that they didn't care and didn't take care of the stuff that we had sent over to them. And it was, of course, quite the opposite. So we raised more money, came up with a raised more money, and we built a school. And the school is there today, along with the church that the rebels burned down. Someone else had built it in the past, and we built it. The clinic, we supplied the clinic, and that's what we were doing over there in 2009. and a well, and now the Billy Steele Road, which they've named Billy Steele, and I've got some pictures of it. And the list goes on, which is a good thing. So now let's get down to the hardcore. How can we help? John Dean Town is more than just a mission of St. Paul's. It's part of our legacy. They are us. And believe me, we are them. I constantly get emails from the principal of the school, who's our main contact there, who, by the way, has to rent a little motor scooter and drive down the Billy Steele Road to Buchanan, which is on the coast, second largest city in Liberia, which is about 40 miles away, to get email. So I send him email, and then you wait. If you want to get him something fast, then you're in trouble. It's just things don't happen very fast over there. Why do they need the money? Unfortunately, Liberia is one of the poorest countries in the world, if not the poorest country. They don't really have any means of making money. There's no agriculture to speak of. There's rubber trees over there. Firestone has kind of the monopoly on that. And there's some diamonds and things like that, but not out where they live. So what do they have to offer? Not a whole lot except labor, and they do that. Every morning the men walk to whoever would like to hire them for the day to earn some bucks. But other than that, they eat the exact same thing, breakfast, dinner, and supper. Notice I'm from the South. I say supper, not dinner. But they eat the same thing, and we did while we were there. And actually, it's pretty tasty, but to eat it every single meal, every day. No meat. They ate all the meat. There's no animals anymore. They ate them. They even ate the black mambas, probably one of the most deadly snakes in the world. They eat everything, so there is no such thing. So what I'd really like you to do, and my plea, is to look within yourself and how can I help? And I know we are constantly asking for help and for other very worthwhile organizations. And guess what? I'm going to do the same thing. These folks really need your help. I'll tell you what my wife and I, Sheila, what we do is as we mature in life, I won't say as we get older, as we mature in life, we don't really need the things that we perhaps once did. So on our birthdays and anniversaries and Christmas and stuff like that, we send a contribution to John Dean Town, and that's just what we do. So you've, of course, got to make your own decisions and so forth. This past Christmas, the school over there, there are no toilets over there. Well, they built one toilet for us. Unfortunately, the septic tank, which really, if you know anything about septic tanks, is basically just a hole in the ground. They poured some sand in it, and that was it. But unfortunately, that was just uphill of the water well. So, you know, we didn't use it. So in any case, there are no toilets over there. So the school, which has anywhere from 120 to 150 odd kids, had no toilet. So this past Christmas, my wife and I sent some money over to complete a toilet, or actually two toilets. And so we are getting requests for things like that they desperately need. So in any case, think about it. Next week is the fifth Sunday, and appreciate your help. Thanks.
Thank you, Tommy. Again, that's our fifth Sunday offering that we'll take next week, and you'll hear more about what's going on in John Dean Town. Will you stand now for the reading of the gospel? Suzanne.
Good morning. Today's reading comes from Luke chapter 18, verses 15 through 17, from the New Revised Standard Version, which is the copies that you have in the pew. People were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them, and when the disciples saw it, they sternly ordered them not to do it. But Jesus called for them and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Suzanne. Again, welcome to our community partners and guests, and thank you for all that you do, and thank you for being here today. We know this wasn't in your job description anywhere, was it? Is it in your job description? Maybe. I don't know. We put on everybody's job description and our staff any and all duties as assigned by the pastor. So, yeah. But welcome. In the gospel lesson today, it's that famous passage about, you know, the situation. If you grew up in the church, it's like Jesus always garnered a crowd. He could work miracles. He could heal people, and he did it for free. Why wouldn't there be a line, right? And so people show up, but there's also a tradition, that out of the Jewish culture, that the mothers would bring their children to the rabbi, and the rabbi would bless them. And, of course, if a particular rabbi could work miracles, you maybe want to get in that line, don't you think? And also, yeah, this was a common trait. But the disciples, who we have to understand, too, they grew up, all of them Jewish, and they understood that tradition, and they had probably all of them received it one time or another when they were a child, and yet somehow they didn't think it was important. And so they shooed away not just only the children, but the mothers of the children to make room for the important people. And of course, Jesus being Jesus would have none of it. He wanted to be real clear about how we were supposed to understand and see children. I think sometimes we get a little sentimental about this, like the way we do with children. Here's something written by Frederick Buechner, one of my favorite theologians. When the disciples, over earnest as ever, asked Jesus, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, Jesus pulled a child out of the crowd and said, "The greatest in the kingdom of heaven were people like this." 2,000 years of homiletic sentimentalizing and the contrary notwithstanding, Jesus was not playing Captain Kangaroo. I love that show, didn't you? He was saying that people who get into heaven are people who, like children, don't worry about it too much. They are people who, like children, live with their hands open more than their fists clenched. They are people like children that are so relatively unburdened by the preconception that if somebody says there's a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, they are perfectly willing to go take a look for themselves. Children aren't necessarily better than other people. Like the child in the emperor's new clothes, they're just apt to be better at telling the difference between a put-up job and the real thing. And I think that kind of gets at maybe what Jesus' heart was without children, about children. I think that sometimes we tend to just sort of get sentimental and romantic about children, that about the innocence of children. They're so innocent and they're sweet and they're wonderful. Yes, they can be. They can also be evil and manipulative and all of that. I mean, I know you know that. I have teachers here and parents here, right? Am I wrong about this? No. Okay, I want to make sure, because I made a quote the other day that Jonah sounded like an 11-year-old girl. And I only know this because I raised 11-year-old girls. I know what they say and sound like and can be like, and I also had youth groups along the way, so I know this a little bit. So, you know, let's not be naive about children, because they can cheat and lie and steal. And you know why? Because they come from us, right? They're little versions of us. They're people, okay? So they have that capability in them as well. But still, Jesus was saying something about how we treat them. I don't believe that Jesus was saying that children are better than anybody else. I'm thinking saying that they're not worse than anybody else either. That we are taught in our culture, as in that culture, that we're supposed to honor our seniors, and I believe that we should. But just because you were born before somebody else doesn't make you more important than them. And Jesus is saying that. And in this, what Jesus is really getting at, I believe, is this idea that there's a stratification, that some people aren't important. And we see that in the Beatitudes as well, not just the children and the way that society treats them in this pecking order, with people who are the meek and the poor and all those people that Jesus said that when it comes to the kingdom are going to be rewarded. And I don't think he's saying either that when we get into heaven that the children are going to run the place. God help us if it's my kids. That's all I got to say. I don't know what that looks like. I don't need to say in that necessarily either. But I think what he's saying is sometimes he's not talking, when he says the kingdom, sometimes he's talking about the kingdom of earth, kingdom of God, right here on earth, the eventual sovereign dominion of God where justice reigns, that mercy is unrestrained and compassion is the norm and the law is love. And people live out the law, and they're not living it out because it's the law. It's because it is the way it is. It is because they are the way they are. And what Jesus is saying is if we're ever going to get there, it's going to be through them. The gospel of Jesus Christ is something that is passed on one to another. We know this. And maybe it's passed most effectively on our children. Statistics bear this out. Excuse me. 4 out of 7 people who give their life to Jesus Christ from the Barna Institute do so before the age of 17. That's why we invest so much in children's ministry. That's why we try so hard to do these things that we're doing in our sports ministry now, because we've got them at that age that if you can plant that there, that this fertile ground, and it may not seem like anything's happening, but through the grace of God and the experience and the years and the things that are going to happen for the child, there'll be a day when you see there will be growth there. And Jesus said, if we're going to ever bring the kingdom of God into reality, it'll be because we poured it, our hearts and our best into our children. Not only our children, but all of the children. All of the children in our neighborhood, all of the children in our community. We have heard that it takes a village, but those of you that are educators or administrators and others, we see that the village is pulling away from its children. And the church never can. Our Lord won't let us. As Janita said, we are blessed to be a blessing. And God help us if we ever get in the way of anyone's blessing from Him. That's what I believe He's saying. That you and I, when we do that, we become a stumbling block to a young person's faith. We become a stumbling block to ourselves, and we definitely become a stumbling block to the kingdom. But what we do, I know these gifts that we give, these things that we share, the underwear and the toothpaste and the, you know, all the food that we give, and you know, at the beginning, the fall, all the notebooks and all that. I know it looks like a lot to us, but I know it's not even a dent. Everything that's needed. I mean, we're talking 3 schools here. We've got 1,000 kids. And over 90% of them, families below the poverty line. But what it can mean, and what I hope it does mean, is encouragement. Encouragement to you, my friends, who, God bless you. God gave you gifts. And God gave you a heart for children, for young people. And thank God for that, because they need you. And maybe it was because somebody in your childhood, they inspired you, right? And if I ask you, you could tell me who that is, couldn't you? You could, yeah. I'm thinking here, we got Juanita Emerson's son right here. How many remember Juanita? She had a great passion for children. And turtles, right? Yeah, and just great. And she loved, and that love gets passed on, and that calling gets passed on. And we've got a church with a lot of educators and administrators that understand. And we're committing ourselves to to be partners with you in this ministry. We're trying to raise kids. We're trying to give them a way up and a help up to be a building block and not a stumbling block. So there's, I think there are a lot of ways to do that. What my hope is, I know it won't make all the difference, but it might be an encouragement, a visual encouragement that a people that are in your community cared enough to do something and give of themselves. And I hope that we always will. And maybe, you know what that needs? Sometimes all we need is encouragement. You never know the encouragement that the difference it's going to make in a young person's life. We just never do. I'm going to give you two very different examples. One is a stumbling block response, and one is a building block response. And it's a similar, same kind of situation. There were two young men that were altar boys in their church. And both of them spilled the elements on the priest, right? Both of them nervous and, you know, about doing this. And the first one, the priest responded by knocking him away, calling him a clumsy fool and telling him to leave and never come back. And he didn't. And that young man's name, reportedly, Karl Marx. You familiar with that? All right. But the other one did a similar thing. He was nervous and he was wanting to do a ride, but he spilled the wine on the priest. And the priest, he just kind of wiped it off, but he put his hand on the young man. And he said to him, "Someday you're going to be a great priest." And that young man reportedly was Archbishop Fulton Sheen. Maybe you've heard of him as well. And I'm not saying that one instance changed everything, but maybe it did. Maybe it was a part of other building blocks or stumbling blocks along the way. And it was that straw that broke the back or that tipping point or whatever it was that you and I could be for somebody else, for a young person. I hope that we will always be the building blocks, that we will never, ever stand in the way of a blessing for a child. And may we be, as a church, may we be a part of each child's village in our community. May we be the village. May we be the body of Christ. May we be the blessing to all God's children and never stand in the way. Amen? All right, my friends. Okay, I'm going to ask those that are partnering with us to come up and tell us a little bit about what's going on at school there and what your needs are. So come on up. Do we have... Can I borrow one of those guys? Yeah. So you see in the front page your worship folders, kind of who's represented here. So we got one from each school. So introduce yourself, and you can even stand on the top tier of the chancel. Yes, I know. I know it seems like a really holy place, but hey, Chad stands here too, so, you know, it's okay. All right, tell us what's going on at school and what the needs are.
I'm Chandra Young. I'm the principal at Robles Elementary, and I just want to thank this congregation so much for the generosity that comes from your hearts and the blessings that God has given you that you have shared with us. And we're the ones that actually get a lot of the blessings because we get to give it out to the families. And we get to see their faces and we get to hear their expressions of thankfulness and joy. So we receive a blessing too from the gifts that you give our students. We are in an area where, you know, it's high poverty. And a lot of our families have absolutely nothing. And so my team here gets the joy of helping those families, and we just receive such a blessing. So we just want to thank you for giving us a blessing as well as our students.
Is there any needs that you have that we may think about down the road that we can help you with?
Well, it's just the wonderful generosity of giving us the socks and undies and the toiletry items. Those things our kids need so desperately. That's just a wonderful blessing for us. And the food boxes that you give, I just can't go on with all the wonderful things that you do for our school. So we just really appreciate it.
Well, if something comes up, you'll let us know. Thank you.
Hi there. I'm Tiffany Emerson. I'm the principal at Dietz K-8 School. My husband Bill is sitting in the front row. He's Juanita's son, so it's a wonderful connection that we have with the church. Juanita used to get such a kick going into the start of the school year asking me, so what are the needs, the specific needs of the school? I'm going to let the ladies know when we're sorting the supplies. So she really enjoyed that. It was a very fun time. We are now 612 Dragons strong at Dietz K-8, and some changes in our school since last year. We now have about 154 students who are refugees. We are welcoming them, and from all corners of the world, we have Dragons coming from Syria, Iraq, Iran, Democratic Republic of Congo, Somalia, Vietnam. And when our friend was telling us about James Deantown, one of our families, the children, were born here in country, but the mother came across as a refugee from Liberia. So that is a connection right there. And with the donations last year with all of the PE equipment, that really supported our middle school athletic program to the point where we have just been very successful with our small but mighty middle school athletic program. We fielded 5 basketball teams this past school year going into the Ross Grudge Cougar Classic, which is a very large basketball tournament here in Tucson. And 2 of our teams from our small but mighty middle school, we only have about 180 middle school kids, 2 of our teams made it all the way to finals, took 2nd place in the tournament, and qualified for the state tournament in middle school athletic competition. So having basketballs really makes a difference for effective practice. So thank you for that. That was a really big deal. And just recently, our small but mighty Dragon middle school track team, we have 7 young ladies on the track team. In our divisional competition, they took 3rd place in the divisionals and scored 100 points with only 7 kids. And we were up against teams that had like 60 athletes each, took 3rd place, scoring 100 points, and every single young lady on that team qualified for the middle school city meet, which is going to be on April 29th. Amazing what equipment does, so thank you so much for that. And I will let Julie talk to you a little more about what the other blessings do for the school.
I'm Julie, and I'd like to once again thank you for everything that you do for our students. We refer to them as Dragons, and those that are the preschoolers coming up, they are the Dragons in training. So we do not have a preschool at Dietz, but with about 612 students now, we are on the grow and continue to be on the grow. As you pray in your congregation, please include the words for space for us, because we are crowded, but we are loving. And with your help and support with food boxes, with the needs for the Sunday of giving back that you do with the socks and the underwear, the sporting equipment, which you have heard, we just continue to assist our families in need. And your blessings just do double work for helping them, because they need the support. And we, again, appreciate that. I'd like to also take this moment to invite you next Tuesday, coming up this next Tuesday, the 25th, Palo Verde High School Magnet will be hosting our Opening Minds Through the Arts concert, and those are kindergarten through 4th grade performing on the stage. This is big time, and we love to encourage you to come out and see the children that you support. It's a beautiful thing to see them come together to practice. The repetition of the music, the songs, the clapping. There will be some instrument playing, recorders, I believe. So please, if you have time, the concert begins at 6 o'clock at Palo Verde Magnet High School. I know that your own families and your schedule should always be first, but if you have a moment and you have the time, please come meet your children from Dietz.
So Tiffany had shared at the schools that 21 languages, right? 21 languages, in addition to all the other challenges. So the challenges continue to mount up. The needs continue to mount up, and so do the calling of God's people. We are honored to be able to partner with you and to to be able to make a difference with you. We know that we do, and thank you for coming on this day, on Sunday, on our day, and sharing with us. But bless you all, and may God continue to show you grace and your commitment. Amen. All right, thank you. Okay, Pat's here. He's going to give us instructions here. Yeah, but let's see. Do you want me to send them out with a benediction first, Pat?
Right after I'm done.
Okay. I take my direction from Pat. Okay.
I like to get the mic whenever I can away from Tony. It's awesome. So pretty simple process today. It'll go quickly. We have great entertainment and a nice barbecue lunch that we want you to stay for, okay? So it'll be three portions. We'll do the sorting first. We'll have lunch, and then we'll have entertainment. So it's a great event all around. There's three sorting stations set up. It'll be pretty obvious once you walk into the Life Center. One for hygiene, one for the sports balls, and one for underwear and undergarments, okay? There's going to be leaders at all the tables, shirts like I'm wearing today, or red for that matter. They will have flags. You can follow, go over to them where they need leaders when they have enough volunteers at each. Leaders have enough volunteers at each table. They'll take the flags down. So it'll be pretty easy. My wife Nancy Scott will be at the front door to help direct you. So that'll work out just fine. The other thing that we really want to make sure that you understand: if you have to sit down, that's no problem. We'll get you a chair because there's plenty of jobs to do. And if you just want to hang out with us, feel free to do that. There's tables set up on the right side of the gymnasium so that you can have some drinks, and then the buffet lunch will start about 11:15 is what we figure. So please stick around. And the actual entertainment is interesting, as was noted earlier. It is several members of our youth group showcasing some of their talent, as well as our quartet from the 8 o'clock service. So a couple of performers that we haven't had in the past at some of our events. So please stick around for that as well. And now I'm going to turn it back over to Tony.
All right, my friends. Thank you, Pat. All right, let's stand, my friends, and prepare to go out in this place to do our service and our worship today. So like usually does, it won't take a long time. It'll be kind of a little party together and a celebration of people's generosity and goodness and our ability to affect change in our community. How often do we get to do that and be a part of that? We are blessed, you and I, and we thank God for the blessing. And may we never be a stumbling stone to all God's children everywhere. In Christ Jesus, go in peace. God bless you, friends.